Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, October 3rd, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Junior doctors in Zimbabwe go on strike at a time the country is galvanizing the health sector in readiness for a possible Ebola outbreak.
You know, the backlash should be at the Ministry of Health and Child Welfare, because we don't plan to strike. It is not our intention to strike. So if there's going to be a backlash, then the backlash should be directed to the Minister of Health himself.
Is the First Lady Grace Mugabe a pawn in the ZANU-PF succession battle or her own woman? An analyst looks at the First Lady's possible intentions and maiden political speech yesterday.
You know, the politics in Zim, especially ZANU-PF, it's something that has been fluid and sometimes unpredictable.
And Amnesty International describes as disturbing the ongoing demolition of houses in Chitungwiza, Harare and Epworth by local authorities and the government.
Junior doctors in Zimbabwe have gone on strike at a time the country is galvanizing the health sector in case of an Ebola outbreak. The epidemic, the largest in history, has killed over 3,000 people in West Africa, with America recording its first infected person this week. Zimbabwe has not recorded a single case of Ebola, but like all other nations in the world, is on high alert. The industrial action started at Parirenyatwa Hospital yesterday and is said to be spreading to other government hospitals, such as Harare Central and Mpilo in Bulawayo. The junior doctors are bitter that they were forced to take up one-roomed apartments at the hospital after the cash-strapped Harare scrapped a $300 housing allowance. They want the government to increase their salaries to about $1,200 from $800 per month.
Efforts to get a comment from Health Minister David Parirenyatwa were futile as he did not answer his mobile. But senior officials in the health sector, speaking on condition of anonymity, told Studio 7 that the ministry will deploy army doctors should the situation deteriorate further. In 2009, the last time the doctors downed tools, army doctors were called in to assist. Committee member of the Hospital Doctors Association, Dr. Nyasha Mtetwa, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that working conditions at government hospitals have deteriorated.
The Minister of Health has failed to address our concerns. There are three issues. The first one was that the allowances that you are getting for housing allowances, they are grossly inadequate. Then the second one was that overall, the salaries that you are earning, if you compare them to the regional salaries, they are also grossly inadequate. Then, thirdly, there are poor working conditions with Parirenyatwa Hospital, which we think they should be addressed as a matter of urgency. So this is why doctors have taken this course of action to engage the authorities head on.
But have you tried to seek audience with authorities at the hospital and also the Ministry of Health?
Yes, we have sought audience with them this morning, since yesterday, and also this morning. We've met the chief executive officer of Parirenyatwa. We've also met the health service board, and we've met the acting permanent secretary in the Ministry of Health and Child Welfare. So we hope probably that at the end of the day, we'll come up with a way forward strategy for the best interest of the patients.
Is this industrial action confined to Parirenyatwa group of hospitals only?
As of yesterday, it was still confined to Parirenyatwa group of hospitals. But as we speak right now, they announced sporadic incidents in other hospitals like Bulawayo hospitals and the Harare hospital.
Are you not afraid that you might face a backlash from Zimbabweans, judging from the fact that there is this Ebola outbreak in some West African countries, and there is a possibility that it might spread to Zimbabwe? Is the timing not bad?
I think that the people or the person who should have the backlash should be at the Ministry of Health and Child Welfare, because we don't plan to strike. It is not our intention to strike. So if there's going to be a backlash, then the backlash should be directed to the Minister of Health himself.
And that was committee member Dr. Nyasha Mtetwa of the Hospital Doctors Association speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The MDCT today chose a new leadership for its Matabeleland South Province and nominated candidates for its national leadership during elections held in Gwanda Town and attended by top officials, including party leader Morgan Tsvangirai. The new chairman for the province is Solani Moyo, who will be deputized by Gladys Mawuza. Velepini Ntuma becomes the provincial secretary, while former Woshmin Ngube MDC official Nomalanga Kumalo becomes treasurer. And on the national stage, the province did not deviate much from the status quo, except like a number of provinces has reportedly begged Nelson Chamisa for the Secretary General's post and Abednego Bebe for organizing secretary. Reporter Ntunga Milinkomo reached Mr. Bebe, who refused to reveal the nominations but shed light on other developments.
First, we had the provincial elections, and the provincial elections took place, and one Solani Moyo, we nicknamed Nyama, is one who was elected to lead the Matabeleland South Province. With the rest of the other members today, we elected 8 members of the provincial executive, and after that, we had senior leadership nomination. We agreed as leadership that we will not officially announce the results before we finish all the nominations by the 12 provinces. Once the 12 provinces have nominated, we will then proceed to announce who got what and where. And so far, we are left with Bulawayo that we are going to be doing tomorrow, Matabeleland North that we are going to be doing on Sunday, Mashonaland West that we'll be doing on Wednesday, and Manikaren that we'll be doing on Saturday. And we are saying we are going to announce all those results when we've finished all the 12 provinces.
From the nominations that have been done so far, would you say there is a consistency on candidates?
There are contestations in some, and there are some that are not contested, where consistency is continuing.
MDCT official Abednego Bebe in Gwanda, he spoke with Ntunga Milinkomo.
First Lady Grace Mugabe made her maiden political speech at a ZANU-PF rally in Chinoyi, Mashonaland West, yesterday. The rally, according to the province, was called to celebrate Mrs. Mugabe's entrance into politics following her nomination to take over the leadership of the Women's League from Opa Muchinguri, the Women's Affairs Minister. The rally came as divisions in the ruling party are widening ahead of crucial Central Committee elections scheduled for next month and a make-or-break elective congress in December. In her wide-ranging speech, the First Lady, touted by a faction in the party as a rising star, took a swipe at factionalism in ZANU-PF, saying the infighting is now stressing her husband, 90-year-old President Robert Mugabe.
Mr. Mugabe has attempted on several occasions to ease tensions in the party, but with little success. Two rival camps allegedly led by Vice President Joyce Mujuru and Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa are engaged in a bruising fight to succeed Mr. Mugabe should he leave office. But the two have consistently denied suggestions that they lead warring factions. The First Lady accused some unnamed senior party members of trying to oust President Mugabe from office. Some analysts say Mrs. Mugabe is being used as a pawn in the succession battle, while others claim she may be entering politics in a bid to create a Mugabe dynasty and take over the reins from her husband. For analysis, Blessing Zulu turned to political analyst Shakespeare Hamauskwa of Mulungushi University in Zambia, who says Mrs. Mugabe's entrance into politics is meant to safeguard her family's interests should Mr. Mugabe decide to step down.
The entrance of Ms. Mugabe, Dr. Mugabe in court, is in politics. It's something that is complex and something that has to be viewed from different angles. One issue, it could be a culmination of Mugabe's worries about the future of the kids. And it reflects a lot of issues that Mugabe doesn't rely on national laws for the safety of his kids, So the only issue there that would give the security to Mugabe's kids is when his family remains in politics, holding critical positions in politics. So also a way of getting grace into politics is trying to protect whatever could have been gotten by Mugabe and his family. Then the other issue could also be viewed from the continued factional politics that has engulfed the ZANU-PF over the years, because the one faction, especially Mnangagwa's faction, could be in the forefront engineering the coming in of Grace Mugabe into politics. But I don't think Zimbabweans are ready to have a kind of a dynasty, a political dynasty in their system. The democracy that they would want is not something that would be reminiscent of a political dynasty, but it's a way now of trying to get control of Mugabe. So they are getting into Grace. By doing that, they will also control Mugabe through Grace.
Where does this leave Vice President Joyce Mujuru in the succession matrix?
You know, the politics in Zimbabwe, especially ZANU-PF, it's something that has been fluid and sometimes unpredictable. We cannot it can give some fears, it can send shivers into the spines of those who are in the Mujuru camp. But still, it's 50-50, because it can also be too risky even for the Mnangagwa faction to try to depose Mujuru of his post, because there is still considerable support.
That was political analyst Shakespeare Hamauskwa of Mulungushi University speaking there with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Zambia.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
Amnesty International says it is disturbed with the ongoing demolition of houses in Chitungwiza, Harare and Epworth by local authorities, claiming the structures are illegal. The move has affected thousands of people. Amnesty International Southern Africa Regional Specialist Simeon Mawanza says the government and local authorities are violating the country's constitution, which states that everyone has a right to shelter. The Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission also condemned the demolitions, adding it would investigate the exercise. Mawanza tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that the authorities have failed to learn from the mistakes they made during Operation Murambatswina in 2005.
We feel that these evictions are going to leave thousands of people in an extremely dire situation, particularly given that we are heading towards the rain season. We are also particularly concerned about what is happening, because it is clearly in violation of the new constitution of Zimbabwe, where section 74 of the new constitution protects people from arbitrary evictions. We are reliably informed that none of the local authorities were granted a court order as required under the new constitution to move these people.
What are you recommending?
Well, it is important that the victims assert their rights, and through support from organizations and lawyers that work to protect human rights in Zimbabwe, we are aware that some action has been taken and the matter is being brought before the courts. But what is also important is for the government to be sensitive and to be alive to the challenges that many people are facing in Zimbabwe. But more importantly, that the government should be seen to respect provisions in the new constitution.
Are you going to do something about it?
We will continue to engage with the Zimbabwean government, and as Amnesty International, we have been talking to various government ministers since 2005 in our monitoring of the challenges that have been faced by the victims of Operation Murambatswina. And with regards to this latest development, yes, plans are on the way to engage the government, to appeal to the government to respect its obligations under human rights law.
That was Amnesty International Regional Specialist Simeon Mawanza on the line from Johannesburg, South Africa, with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
you beat poverty by simply rejecting it?
I hated poverty from day one and said, man, I don't want to live this life. I don't want my kids to go through this kind of scenario.
Tanzanian-born motivational speaker and author Eric Shigongo says that's what he did. He shares how in his book, 10 Laws to Move from Poverty to Prosperity.
Don't talk too much, do it. Once God gives you an idea, move ahead and implement it. Don't wait for validation from people. There are people who cannot do anything until they have approval from some people. Don't do that. Once God gives you an idea, that's God speaking to you. Just figure out how to do it. Go out. If you fail, it is you. It's your business. Don't be a victim. Be a victor.
Tune in to our shows Saturday and Sunday to hear what he says about how you can do it too.
Coming up,
Pink Day launched in Harare as organization lead fight against cancer.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
A new study finds that HIV/AIDS originated in the 1920s in the Central African city of Kinshasa, in what is now the Democratic Republic of Congo. Researchers say a perfect storm of factors primed the HIV pandemic, including rail and river transport in 1960s Congo, a booming sex trade, and the use of unsterilized needles in health clinics. The international research team traced HIV's genetic history using archived samples of the virus's genetic code.
A patient with Ebola-like symptoms has been admitted to a Washington, D.C. area hospital in the United States. A spokeswoman for Howard University Hospital today said a patient who recently traveled to Nigeria was in a stable condition. The spokeswoman said medical authorities have isolated the patient and activated the appropriate infection control protocols. Meanwhile, the Dallas County Health Director in Texas says the situation surrounding the first U.S. diagnosis of Ebola virus is under control despite the quarantine of 4 people and the monitoring of close to 100 others. Dallas County Health and Human Services Director Zachary Thompson said on U.S. television today that there is no outbreak. Also, the Liberian president said that she's not happy with the Liberian citizen who brought Ebola to the U.S. Meanwhile, Chris, we also know that in Liberia, there was a U.S. cameraman who was working for NBC News and has contracted Ebola. The network says it is flying him back to the United States and the entire news crew who will be placed under a 21-day quarantine.
And Hong Kong police were forced to intervene today after street fights broke out between pro-democracy demonstrators and frustrated residents who opposed the week-long protests. The scuffles began when a group of hundreds of supporters of Communist Party rule attacked a protest site in the Mong Kong neighborhood, smashing tents and tearing down banners. Police formed a human chain in an attempt to separate the two groups. When the barrier did not hold, more police were sent in as reinforcements. No serious injuries were reported. VOA correspondent Brian Padden, who is in Mong Kong, described the situation as very volatile.
Two Zimbabwean organizations today launched the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, commemorated throughout the world in October, in an attempt to fight cancer. Members of the Zimbabwe Women's Resource Center and the Cancer Association in Zimbabwe marked the day at the Harare Gardens with calls for women to visit clinics and hospitals for breast cancer checkups. A guest of honor, cancer expert Dr. Anna Mary Nyakabao, told the gathering that most women don't seek early treatment for breast cancer, leading to a number of deaths for a disease that can be controlled if detected early.
Dr. Nyakabao, who is said she's worried that a large number of women seek help from ministers of religion who falsely claim that they can treat the disease through prayer. She said women should seek proper treatment from clinics and hospitals whenever they suspect that they are not well. The theme of the Breast Cancer Awareness Month is Think Pink, Find It, Fight It, and Win the Battle. Indications are that at least 5,000 people are diagnosed of various cancers in Zimbabwe every year, with 1,500 deaths recorded annually.
A Commonwealth Finance Ministers meet in Washington, D.C. next week to explore ways of financing the post-2015 development agenda at a time when many countries are struggling to meet targets for combating poverty and improving the livelihoods of millions of their citizens. Zimbabwe is not a member of the Commonwealth, but Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa will also be in Washington, D.C. for World Bank meetings. The Commonwealth meeting takes place in the margins of the 2014 International Monetary Fund and World Bank annual meetings. Ministers will consider the findings of the report of the United Nations Intergovernmental Committee of Experts on Sustainable Development Financing. The report explores options for mobilizing resources to achieve sustainable development. Another major item on the agenda will be a discussion of proposals for reform designed to improve ways of mobilizing, measuring, and monitoring the effectiveness of official development assistance. The proposals were developed by countries belonging to the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development. The ministerial meeting will be preceded by meetings of senior officials from the finance ministries of the Commonwealth countries and of central bank governors, who focus on implementing regulations to tackle money laundering and for counter-terrorism financing.
If you have not heard of Katswe Sisterhood, tomorrow you will have a chance to see them in action on the streets of Harare. Director Talent Jumo says this will not be an ordinary encounter, as hundreds of women mobilized by the organization will be wearing miniskirts in the city to protest against abuse by men who have had feelings about minis.
Around our bodies and taking charge of our bodies and making decisions about what to do with our bodies and what we wear and what happens with us is really like our business. And we are fed up because this has been going on for a while. And we just thought, you know, we are a mobilized group of young women. We are going to have to say something about it. And we are going to do that tomorrow at 9 a.m. We see men who urinate in public all the time. And we've never threatened to pull out their reproductive organs. But for us, I mean, even if they don't even see the organs, they still want to harass us. And we're saying, you know what, enough is enough. We are not waiting for the 16 days of activism. We are going to act now.
Don't miss the Katswe Sisterhood tomorrow here on VOA Studio 7.
Of football, pundits have placed the Dynamos as the overwhelming favourites to lift the 2014 One Wallet Cup. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us why, especially as football history books are littered with upsets such as Cameroon at one time beating Argentina 1-0. Our soccer pundits are prepared to offer odds as the Glamour Boys prepare to take on Triangle in the final of the One Wallet Cup at the National Sports Stadium Sunday.
Their belief that Dynamos will prevail is premised on the difference in class in terms of quality between the two sides in all forms that make up the game of football. Some are even putting the chances of an upset at 20-1 or even higher as the One Wallet Cup debate comes to an end. Triangle have not beaten Dynamos since their promotion into the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League at the beginning of the 2013 soccer season. Dynamos have won three of their meetings, with the other ending in a draw. Football reporter Langton Nyakwenda of the weekly Sunday Mail says Triangle do not stand a chance, adding that the Midland side will be lucky to lose by less than 3 goals. Even Dynamos chairman Kenny Mbaiwa is himself boasting that when it comes to money games, Dynamos are invincible.
Dynamos, when we come to money games, that's where we play more than any other games.
Dynamos recently thumped Highlanders 4-1 in the TM Pick and Pay Challenge, in which they took home 60,000. There are higher stakes in the final of the One Wallet Cup, where the winners will take home 80,000 with the runners-up guaranteed of 50,000. Dynamos have too many big match players compared to Triangle. Oscar Machapa, Simba Stole, Tafazwa Rusike and Roderick Mtuma have played in the highly competitive Absa Premiership in South Africa to an extent that a cup final against Triangle does not scare them. There is also the experience of the likes of Murape Murape, who have seen it all in the CAF Champions League, and not mentioning Devon Chafa, who was part of the Zimbabwe team that qualified for the final of the Africa Nations Championships. These cannot be compared to the best of Triangle. The likes of Praise Dona, Tinai Chitora, and Tatenda Tsuro are appearing in a cup final for the first time in their careers and could find the stage frightening. Despite the massive difference, Triangle supporter Mnyaradzi Makombe thinks they will get things right this time around.
This is the time to correct ourselves and get it right.
The Castle Lager Premier Soccer League program is on hold to pave way for the One Wallet Cup final. But the English Premiership rose into its seventh week with a top-of-the-table clash between London rivals Chelsea and Arsenal. This is one of the biggest derbies in English football, and what a time it has come. Chelsea are on fire and are still unbeaten in six starts, but Arsenal too cannot be discounted. The Blues are top of the table with 16 points, while Arsenal are in fourth position with 10 points. Their meeting at Stamford Bridge comes Sunday, the same day that inconsistent Manchester United are at home to Everton. But the ball starts rolling tomorrow with another exciting match pitting defending champions Manchester City travelling to Aston Villa. The two teams are separated by only 1 point, with City above on 11 points and fireworks are expected. Following last week's draw against Everton, Liverpool manager Brendan Rodgers has no illusions about what his team is going for this season as they prepare to host West Bromwich Albion.
We take another way, believe in our squad, and as some players forget the balance, two different way.
Bottom place Newcastle, who have managed only 3 points so far, play Swansea, who have started their season brightly and are joined third on the league table. Leicester welcome Burnley, while Crystal Palace travel to Hull. Tottenham lock horns with Southampton, while West Ham and Queen's Park Rangers round off what looks like an exciting weekend soccer program. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about the Junior's Doctor's Strike action.
To join the discussion, please text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
Time now, Sandy, for our mailbag. And the first mail that we have is from Hlaguvana, who says, thanks so much for reading my note. I'm really grateful. However, I would have loved to get the position of the DA of Filabusi, the major stumbling block, and Rulanga, other local chiefs like Maduna, Jahane, and Chief Mazetese himself, and the responsible minister should obviously have a final say to Chief Matezeze's relocation application. Thanks, guys, says Hlavuna.
Yes, Chris, we'll read some more emails on Monday. But just now, a quick recap of today's top stories. Junior doctors in Zimbabwe go on strike at a time the country is galvanizing the health sector in readiness for a possible Ebola outbreak.
Is First Lady Grace Mugabe a pawn in the ZANU-PF succession battle or her own woman, we heard from an analyst.
And Amnesty International describes as disturbing the ongoing demolition of houses in Zimbabwe.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntunga Milinkomo. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.